It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
103.7 The Game's 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20 by 20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
Welcome, everyone, to the 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast right here on 1037thegame.com, exclusively through it. It's been last few weeks we haven't done one, and largely because I just haven't felt like it, thanks to...
You pulled the WWE already, Clint. I'm Cody.
No,
he's Clint. Sorry. It's not exclusively on WWE.com if you also then show it on Raw or SmackDown, just like this isn't exclusively on 1037thegame.com if you can also find it on your Apple iPod or Android podcatcher gimmicks.
But it's coming via 1037thegame.com.
Right, but I mean, you use the word exclusively like WWE would use the word exclusively.
Yeah, well, I mean...
For the first time ever, the 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast taking place on June 12th, 2019. Because that's true.
Yeah, well, I'm disappointed we couldn't do it on June 9th because that was
It was the nicest day. I was live on Mustang for the
it was
nicest
a very nice day.
Of the year. Pour one out for the nicest day of the year. Good things to catch up on.
Oh, some really good things, man. We had Dominion June. We had New Japan Dominion.
Yeah, didn't watch that.
Yeah, well, you should have, because trust me, a lot of as Vince
some good lucha things happen.
No, not good lucha things. Just some really good shit.
That's good shit, pal.
Pooper scooper. That's gonna become the ongoing meme of the show. Is just pooper scooper, good shit, and Omaha steaks.
I'll just get.
Have you ever had Omaha steaks?
I have actually.
How are they? I've never had them.
I mean, they're steaks. I mean, I don't know. They come frozen, so it's one of those things. If you don't mind defrosting your meat before cooking it, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Good rule of thumb: if your meat's frozen, always defrost.
That's a great pro tip right there. We don't want you to die of what is it, salmonella or E. coli?
Either one of them, Ebola, I think.
No, that's what happened at Super Showdown last Friday with that thing.
Nikola, what?
Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, there it is.
Anyways.
We'll get there.
But like I said, that was a big reason why I didn't feel like doing the podcast the last couple weeks, because I remember, oh, hey, we've got the fucking Super Showdown show, which nobody cares about.
There were 51 people in that battle royal.
Who's the 51st?
Mansoor.
Wait, Manny was 50? I thought it was, nobody knew. Like, there's so many people in that. That was the biggest.
That's the thing. Someone took the time on a paused screen at the very beginning of it, before even EC3. Got eliminated, because you didn't even see EC3. He got eliminated off camera. It's the best. He was the first. Everyone thinks the Singh brothers were the first eliminated.
No, EC3 was the first eliminated.
EC3 was out first, but the cameras didn't catch it. But
now,
if you pause the screen and count bodies inside the ring,
yeah. You
can see there are 51 people in the ring.
Is that including a referee?
No, there's no referee. You couldn't fit another person in there.
This is why they should have done it like a WCW. Have two rings.
Or do it. See, I think maybe... The plan for this originally was to do it in, like, waves, but then AEW did a thing that then if WWE did a thing, it looks like they're doing a thing that AEW already did, minus playing cards.
Well, like I say, you could have done, like, a two-ring battle royal and have all 50 people in there, and it's not as much of a clusterfuck to start.
Right,
like, that's my big thing. It was very frustrating. Like, the entire Super Showdown show, I just felt like we should – the 20 by 20 Progress podcast has been – under protest the last few weeks.
Basically.
Because, one, they never said where it was at. And two, when they did, it was like, oh, man, we knew it was in there. Come on, WWE, quit going there.
So let's discuss then, just real quick, because, Clint, you'll go on for ages about this. I just want to say John Moxley.
Yes.
His appearance on the Talk is Jericho podcast.
Well, all the things that he did.
Well, after he's done that, I forget the name. Was it 20? What is the other podcast he did? It's got some numbers in the title or something like that. But he did a second podcast after that as well, where he said, you know, and all the things he said to Talk is Jericho. If you're listening to this, you've listened. Right. But if you're listening to 20 by 20, you've listened to Talk is Jericho. So I'm going to assume you know where we're at right now. I appreciate more than anything, you know, Dean Ambrose going out there, the former Dean Ambrose going out there and kind of burying WWE's, not creative, but Vince McMahon basically as a whole, and confirming what everybody has basically figured is true for a few years now, if not almost a decade. I applaud him because of not just that, but what he said in his second podcast appearance, where He is just trying. He's not trying to ruin that company. He doesn't have any bad blood with the company. If he wanted to go back, he felt like he could go back. He hasn't burned any bridges. He just knows how many people under contract for WWE feel the way that he does.
Yeah.
And he is the only one right now that's really able to express it fully as it actually feels for them. So I give him another little head nod and a tip of the cap to Jon Moxley for being a voice to the voiceless. And this is coming from someone who is a huge WWE mark. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about some AEW, but yeah, I'm a huge WWE mark. I shoo away people that tell me AEW is going to crush WWE and it's going to go away and it's so much better. Like, go away from me with that mess. But that doesn't mean that I can't appreciate Moxley giving a voice to the people who, because of one reason or another, can't really vent their frustrations.
Were you talking about the Wade Keller pro wrestling podcast? Because
he went on a second one after.
No, I think he went like on an in studio visit for like the radio station.
Or maybe he made a second appearance where he discussed his appearance.
The Wade Keller podcast, yeah, which came out over two parts, and that one was really cool because it was way different than what kind of the Talk Is Jericho podcast was, where it was strictly about why he left, kind of the last 6 months of his career in WWE. It was a lot more about like what happened with the Stone Cold podcast in 2016. Why did that kind of fizzle out? What happened there? All these things that they didn't, like the Brock Lesnar match at Mania 32. Why was that?
I was there for that.
Why was that a mess? Like
there were potted plants hanging from the ceiling.
Wait, Mitch was there at that time too?
I don't even know. It was weird.
It's amazing. Not gonna lie, how much has actually happened in the last like few months with WWE. And we talked about it, like, off air, was the fact that we feel like it's just not great right now, WWE. Like, just the fact that their product is...
Now, on screen and off screen, it seems like a shit show all the way around right now. And that's tough for me to say, because I love WWE, and I'm going to continue to watch it. So, you know, call me what you want, but it is, I hesitate to say the word bad right now, because as someone who's been to at least a dozen or so indie wrestling shows and have watched countless videos on YouTube, I've seen bad wrestling. WWE,
I mean, Botchamania shows you everything.
Right, thank you. WWE by no means in the normal sense of the word is bad wrestling, but in the, when you take WWE and you notice and qualify that it is the, you know, brand leader, it leads this entire industry with what it does. Pro wrestling follows WWE, at least for now. And to know that we are, as WWE and wrestling fans, we are struggling right now to get any kind of mainstream hype. Because, yes, AEW is hype, but it hasn't really reached the mainstream levels of hype. It's not on SportsCenter just yet,
Well, I mean, you've only had, like, one show.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But WWE is on SportsCenter, and because of that, I wish it was better and had something better to show to a national worldwide audience, even though WWE is the only sports entertainment brand cross-culturally and available in all countries worldwide.
Exactly. And I think BR Live is available in all countries.
It's geo-blocked in England.
There's such a thing called VPNs.
There is. What is it? VPN Express or Express VPN?
NordVPN.
Not sponsored by any of that. We should be.
Yeah, hey, NordVPN guys, ExpressVPN guys, if you're listening.
ExpressVPN.com/20x20. Use that code. That'll get you 30% off. It won't. It will not.
You can just email me, askcd@gmail.com.
It's drknockers69@gmail.com.
All right, but like I said, there's a lot of crap going on with WWE, and you brought up a good point. It's like it's still the top brand, and largely because of the fact like they're going to have the Fox deal come up, and that's going to be, once they move over to Fox, you're going to have Fox Sports 1 have
now
potentially a show going on with like a hourly analysis show every week, which is interesting, to say the least. Are you going to have DC be a part of this?
I mean, I would love – I've been clamoring for that for the longest time. And I'm glad you bring up Daniel Cormier, because Daniel Cormier is linked to Brock Lesnar.
No, he's just a huge wrestling mark, too.
And that actually makes me, because I have something I want to bring up. For as bad as WWE has been comparatively to how it used to be, I should say, I have to give WWE a bit of the tip of the cap, because everybody was pissed off going into Super Showdown because Brock Lesnar was supposed to cash in at Money in the Bank. That doesn't happen. Or after Money in the Bank, that doesn't happen. He's supposed to cash in on the go-home show before Super Showdown. That doesn't happen. He's yelling, Friday, Friday. Okay, so now everybody's pissed. Okay, God, dog, and I can't believe we're going to waste this money in the bank with Brock Lesnar, which we're already pissed about, even though they've turned that into something better than what we could have expected.
Oh, of course.
But we were all pissed about that, and now we're going to see the title change hands or whatever's going to happen in Saudi Arabia, blah, blah, blah. Well, nothing happened. Brock Lesnar is still Mr. Money in the Bank or the Beast in the Bank. There's no cash.
Yeah, Brock Party.
Right. The Brock Party still rolls on. We may not see Lesnar on TV weekly for a while now. That, you know, fair enough.
I'm fine with that.
It is what it is. But I have to, for as much as I saw people bashing WWE for, oh, I can't believe they're going to do this on the Saudi Arabia show. Classic WWE, give the Sauds what they want on the WWE Saudi Arabia, love each other, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what, fuckers? That didn't happen. So if you're going to trash it for saying it's going to happen when it didn't happen, I'm not asking for a I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, fuck you.
All right, well, before you continue to get yourself worked up into
Yeah,
shoot,
I'm already worked up, Cody, but it's fine.
So, like,
I didn't even want to do this, Clint. You see how angry you made me?
Like, with Brock Lesnar, you know, like, Brock Lesnar and the Money in the Bank, I like the idea of it, but I haven't liked the execution of it. Because, you know, they could have done the whole thing where Brock teases, and then he realizes he's got an entire year, and walks away, and does, and then just disappears, never answers anybody.
And well, Lesnar still had to make an appearance at Super Showdown because
WWE
is going to give Saudi Arabia what they want to
give me what I want
to exactly to a certain extent, and the plans very well may have been at one point to put the belt back on Brock in Saudi Arabia. That may have been the original.
I don't think that
plan.
Was ever the idea,
and maybe it wasn't. But even if it was, WWE
it's like,
we got to
give the Saudis what they want and have Brock Lesnar appear, and that's it.
And that's hopefully where they landed because
yeah.
I'm glad I love Brock Lesnar now. The moment it happened, I was like, I can't believe Brock Lesnar just won Money in the Bank. Now I think it's great. I think Brock
is this the
Lesnar
moment
looming over everything is crazy.
The moment he cashes in now. You don't know when that's going to happen.
No. And you assume it's going to be on Seth Rollins, but how great would it be for him to cash in on Kofi and then Kofi somehow hit him with like three Trouble in Paradises and then do some and then Kofi like retain over Brock Lesnar's cash in?
I can't see it.
If you want to talk about, because they've been teasing a lot, Kofi Kingston, greatest championship reign of all time. Well, and they're not teasing that, but it's being brought up about his reign. He's going to need to do something monumental in order for them to actually give any kind of clout to that claim, and I think a win over Brock Lesnar, especially a win over Brock Lesnar when he's trying to cash in on you, would do that. Now, will they do it?
Yeah.
Probably not, but I'd love to see it.
So basically what you're saying is he needs to not win against Dolph Ziggler. He needs to not face Dolph Ziggler anymore, because
Oh, it's inside a steel cage. It's fine. I'm hype, and I'm not.
Did you see the video on my YouTube like before Super Showdown where they had every single match that Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler have had like in a playlist?
Oh, God. I bet you that's a long playlist.
It was like 20 minutes.
I believe it.
It was trimmed down all the good stuff. But
right.
Like,
it's like Orton Cena at this point.
Oh, no. It's worse than that.
It's worse than that. Wow.
Because you got to think about it. Like, you have Orton Cena only happen really during like pay-per-views. It's once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know you had it three straight months in like 2009. And then not really again after that for a while. It was very much off and on.
Yeah.
It was only on pay-per-views. This has happened on Raw, SmackDowns, main events, superstars, fucking pay-per-views, house shows. Like, there's so much video of it. It's amazing to see how many times we can have Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston over the last 10 years from 2011 to 2019.
And we're going to get it at least one more time.
Yeah. It should have been me.
It should have been me and... You're going to have another chance, Dolph, that you will squander, but that's okay. Clint, I do want to talk about something else. We've been gone for a couple of weeks now, so I believe the people need and deserve a little recap on your thoughts of the Firefly Funhouse.
Oh,
if
man.
You would like to give us your thoughts. We've missed a couple weeks. So what do you think, Clint, about the Firefly Funhouse?
Yowie wowie.
Yowie wowie, indeed.
It's really showing how, like, basically this is the one, like, they've made it to where Firefly Funhouse is completely separate.
It doesn't Raw and SmackDown.
No, just like it's not even WWE affiliated at this point because, like, think about it. Would Vince McMahon allow like a devil puppet of himself to be on television?
Not if he knew.
Exactly. So it's all Bray Wyatt is doing is basically he's the writer, the producer, the director
There's him and one other guy that are doing
Pee-wee's
this.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I saw on Twitter. This
is the guy that made the mask.
Well, no, not the guy that made the mask, but there's the guy. He's a film guy. He's worked on other TV stuff. I found it on Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's basically Bray, and Bray is the one coming up with the ideas. He's feeding the ideas to this production guy,
yeah.
And the production guy is saying, okay, this is how we can actually, you know, get that across on screen. And there, so basically, this is a two-man operation, apparently, the Firefly Funhouse, which makes it...
Husk is the pig boy.
Right. Which makes so much sense as to why it's, as you know, continuous isn't a word, but how much continuity it has, because now we've gone back... In the latest episode of Firefly Funhouse, that would be the one where Bray Wyatt tries to sell Ramblin' Rabbit's guts to you, yeah. In like jam form.
We see a bohemian world.
Right. We see a call back to the very first episode of the Firefly Funhouse with the hurt in the heel gloves.
Yeah.
All of this is just absolutely incredible to me. And somehow, some way, I still want to see Bray Wyatt in ring. I want to see his actual debut. But
yeah.
I'm not to that point of being annoyed with it yet. And I figured I would be by now, but, you know, hand clap to Bray Wyatt, because I'm not annoyed with just little clips, 3 minutes here and there of the Firefly Funhouse.
It's amazing.
I want more, but I like it.
It's amazing to see what they've been able to do, like, in the last, like, what has it been, 2 months?
Yeah, I think we're on episode 8 or 9, somewhere in that area.
And it just works so damn well. I've enjoyed everything about it, largely because of the fact that they've actually made this interesting. They haven't, like, overdone it. Where it's like a whole, like, it takes over half of the show. I love the idea of it.
Now, it doesn't Shane McMahon.
Exactly. It doesn't Shane McMahon, where it's like 20 minutes of everybody.
Both shows.
Everybody looking at a screen.
Explain to me how this week on Raw, Roman Reigns wasn't on the show. People complain, Roman Reigns on both shows. Both
wild card.
Roman Reigns was not on Raw this week, and yet somehow we still got... probably a combined 45 minutes of Shane McMahon programming between Raw and SmackDown. I just don't... That part right there, I think, is what's bothering me the most. And you know what made me actually mad? And there's a difference between me being mad because Shane McMahon is supposed to be a heel, and so I'm mad because he's heel, and then how mad I got watching SmackDown last night when the crowd was... Or was it on Raw? I forget. But when the crowd was chanting boring at Shane McMahon, he stops... And he looks at the crowd with the stupid, stupid look on his face because he knows, he has to know that this is bad booking, that this is bad writing.
Yeah.
And it's almost written on his face. The crowd is chanting boring, and he just has to swallow that and say, oh, I got all night. Don't worry. You know, I'll wait till you're done. And it just pisses me off when the crowd is telling you this is not what we want. And it looks like the performer in the ring on their face, it says, I know this isn't what you want, but I have to. And then they go back right into the BS that nobody wants. And it pained me to watch that this week. And like, again, someone who loves WWE is talking right here. And it's got to get better.
All right, I want to get back to the Bray Wyatt thing. Because I was trying to find what I saw this morning online.
Did you have any success?
Yes, I did. I found it.
Very good.
And here's basically what it says. We all know Aleister Black. Have you seen?
The door's open, by the way.
Just knock on anytime
you want. The door is open. If you come through, we can fight.
Think about it, Cody. Aleister Black waiting for someone to knock on my door. Bray Wyatt.
That sucks so bad.
All you have to do is let me in. Imagine how badass as hell that match would be. Bray Wyatt, Aleister Black.
Okay, Clint,
like the mind games would be fucking
in
amazing.
In theory, you're absolutely right. On paper, I'm looking at it from a fan perspective because at this point, I know how people get. Who wins?
Ah, man, you know what?
Exactly.
But like I said,
you can't do that to either guy. That's got to be their second or third feud. You can't do that to either guy because Bray cannot, absolutely 100% cannot lose his first feud. Aleister Black, they're not repackaging him, but they've held him off so long. It's going to be like a whole new debut when he comes back. You don't want him to lose his first feud either.
Well, I think...
But it would be very WWE of them if they did that.
So hypothetically, I mean, Bray Wyatt, like the new Bray Wyatt, idea.
The Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, the Fiend Bray Wyatt. Let me pitch this idea to you then. If we're not going to have... why not have Aleister Black have his first feud? Let's just throw it out there with somebody on SmackDown Live.
It should be someone like Shinsuke or Rusev or someone like that.
Or Finn.
Or Randy Orton.
I think Finn would be ideal because
I don't know if they're bringing Aleister. I don't know if they're turning him heel or not. His promos have been weird, but so I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It's been weird. It hasn't necessarily.
They haven't been complete face. I'll give you that. You're right.
It's a very like tweener. So I would absolutely love to see it be Aleister Black, at least in that feud, be a heel. And then eventually.
So you want to throw him into the IC title picture like immediately?
Yeah. Because like you just have him come either that. I'm trying to think of who else it would be. Would you put him against Lars Sullivan?
No, because he has to lose that. I like I said, I think he would do well with the feud against Randy Orton. I think Randy Orton is the perfect feud for him because Orton can make him look more amazing than Aleister Black already is. And who cares if Orton loses? He just beat Triple H. What difference does it make?
Yeah, of course. You know, so, good point.
I think Randy Orton would be a good shout if you're going to bring him back as a face, or at least as one of those anti-hero type, like Stone Cold type.
It'd be more of, I think he's gonna be more of just a shade of gray because it feels like that's just how he is.
Right,
as a whole,
right, know? Right. But if you're gonna bring him back as a heel, though, as a bona fide heel, which it's hard to tell what they're gonna do. Finn Balor's not a bad shout if you're gonna bring him back as a heel. Another good one if you're gonna bring him back as that tweener face type thing is Elias. He'd be a good. You can pin Elias. No one cares anymore.
Oh, well, exactly. But that is not really a feud. It's him just like he's gonna black mass him just like he did in his debut.
Yeah, right. You're not wrong.
Which, by the way, I was there for, and that was like. Have you watched that match back?
I have.
Like
when
how
I, came home, I was on my honeymoon.
Yeah, I know. But like whenever he kicked him, like it was just legit. Like this wasn't like, oh wait,
is that the one where it looked like the tooth flew? Like he spit and it looked like the tooth.
Yeah,
flew
no,
out
it
looked
like he just like destroyed him, like knocked him, like legit concussed him or something. It was amazing.
Goldberged him.
No, Goldberg did that to himself.
Fucking idiot.
This is the second time he did that, Cody. Like. He did an Elimination Chamber 2017.
You wrestle so good, bro.
No, Fastlane.
That like, knee bar, bro. That
knee bar.
You're making me mad. You're making me mad, bro.
Matt Riddle is the best. Like,
you're making me mad, bro.
Goldberg, you are the worst wrestler ever, man.
At Undertaker is a true legend.
Well, Undertaker is a true legend.
You're making me mad, bro. I just love that video. He is stoned out of his mind. He is so ridiculously high.
I was so disappointed he wasn't part of a Super Showdown.
No, he got off the plane. They saw how high he was. They sent him right back. He was so baked. That knee bar, bro. You're making me mad.
That's Matt Riddle, like, all the time. And it's like...
Oh, he's the best perpetual just greatness from Matt Riddle. Well done. He wrestles barefoot, too,
right? Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, UFC kicked him out because he couldn't get off the gonch.
Right, Dana White's like, man, you got to cut that out. Fuck you, bro.
You're the worst promoter ever, bro.
I'm going to go to WWE, bro. They don't care, bro. NXT, man.
They're gonna let me smoke all the weed I want, and I don't have to ever get called up.
There's
again.
No sales tax or state tax in Florida either, bro. So I'm going to go to Florida, bro.
Also, speaking of UFC, did you see the news about Chael Sonnen, how he almost got offered like $1 million to no-show the Anderson Silva fight?
Yeah, and then like, but it's one of those things to where then the story goes he got offered $1 million to no-show, but then got turned around by somebody else and offered $5 million to then win the match or something.
And
win
show
the fight,
up on Raw on the Monday.
And then show up to Raw, with the UFC belt and, like, trash UFC. The whole story is so absolutely ridiculous that it's probably true.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Like, I can tell you this. Like, I would love, like, this is 2012. This is, like, peak, like, CM Punk world title.
Cena. Is this the age of Super Cena?
I mean, kind of, sort of, but not necessarily. Like, it's all about CM Punk at this point.
Okay.
Imagine, like, hypothetically, you have a main event, SummerSlam 2012. What was it? Triple Threat, Cena, Big Show, Punk?
That sounds fun.
How much more fun would it be to have Chael Sonnen
against
CM
Phil
Punk,
Brooks?
CM Punk in like for the WWE title.
In a UFC fight.
Or just make it a Brawl for All rules.
Is that the one that Dr. Doom guy?
Dr. Death.
Dr. Death was supposed to win, and he got knocked the fuck out.
Because this was not a work.
It was
work
a shoot. This is why you shouldn't try to book shoot tournaments. Like, that's your fault there. Lesson to be learned.
Hey, Bruce, what happened, William? Actually, I think they did a whole, like, this is like an early what happened, like, something to wrestle with.
Chat me up, Clint, hypothetically here. If Vince McMahon, the puppet, was to show back up on Firefly Funhouse, and Bray Wyatt was to be able to do whatever he wanted to that puppet, what would that sound like?
You better get your act together. Here. Yowie, wowie.
Yowie, wowie. Bray, I don't get it, but the kids say this is good shit.
Pooper scooper. I wanted to be a pooper scooper.
All right, like I guess I think we got about everything.
I think I've touched on everything that I want to touch on. Raw and SmackDown, no bueno. Wild card rule is probably the main.
24/7 belt is the best fucking thing ever.
That is great. I kind of subscribe to the theory, though, that's been online that I've read. I do subscribe to the theory that you put this belt on anyone else other than R-Truth, and we're not having as much fun.
Oh, I think he's making this his own. He's embracing the memes, if you will.
Right.
And it's just awesome.
The 7-Eleven champion, the 7-Eleven television European championship.
Also, how great was it whenever they were all in the elevator on Raw?
That was so good. I had Drake Maverick. I'm the guy who peed his pants on national television. And EC3 finally speaks, and he's like, oh, you did do that. I'm real sorry, man.
No, he's like, I'm getting married next week. EC3's like,
I'm not invited to the wedding.
You're my best man. No, but the best part was how about everybody lost their shit whenever R-Truth called him Drake Maverick Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Like Carmella, Cedric Alexander, EC3 all fucking started laughing.
I'm not Hornswoggle. I'm just a really small man.
It's the best shit ever.
And then Carmella playing the mom of the elevator. Like, no one can talk unless you hold the hat.
All right. Hold on, Cody. All right, hold on. Before I kind of get into my New Japan stuff, was that a Mean Girls reference or am I tripping?
No one can talk unless you...
Wasn't it the talking stickers?
Yeah, you might be right. That might be what... I just thought it was just, since she was the only female in there, just making her play the mom.
No, that's from a fucking...
Boys, calm down.
No, that's from... I think it's Cheaper by the Dozen, actually, the talking stick.
And then Cedric Alexander was the odd man out in that elevator, though, because the one joke that they let him have did not land. I got no bars. I got no truth. You're a rapper. All them songs you got no bars?
That was awesome.
Stop.
That was awesome.
Dad jokes for days from Cedric Alexander.
But 24/7 title, just amazing how Drake Maverick's taken to another level with the social media post.
Jinder Mahal is even thriving in this 24/7 championship.
Also, R-Truth is a five-time.
Is that his five-time?
He was the third champion, and then he lost it to Elias, won it back. He lost it to Elias again, won it back.
Then Jinder.
They lost it to Jinder on the golf course, won it back, and then lost it on the tarmac.
To Jinder.
And won it on the plane.
On the plane.
48,000 feet in the air, Celsius.
Cruising altitude, yeah.
That was the best shit. Like, he's so good.
He's stuck in the box.
He's probably dead by now.
Right. And then Jinder Mahal grabs the ref, and he takes off running. They're going to run to L.A. They're in San Jose or wherever they're at. Fuck it. We'll run all the way to L.A. Who cares?
They're just trying to hurry up to get to their car so they can get
good
there.
Good stuff.
Such WWE, good stuff.
The second best thing on WWE right now is, indeed, the 24/7 championship. The best thing being the Firefly Funhouse.
Firefly Funhouse is the best. But before we get out of here, New Japan Pro Wrestling news and a lot of great stuff going on with that. I think obviously the biggest thing is Moxley, your new IWGP US Heavyweight Champion. And then you've also got three potential big names wanting in on the G1 Climax, Cody. And that is Moxley, Chris Jericho, and the returning Kenta, formerly Hideo Itami off of 205 Live.
GTS.
Oh, dude, that GTS is going to be all the time, and it's going to be great. Just like, this is all what like New Japan wanted to do, was to build this up, because it felt like New Japan was on like a little bit of a lull at the moment, because with them the Elite jumping ship, making their own company and not working with them, it felt like they were just in the middle of the road. But now, shit's going to be fucking awesome. I can't wait for the G1. It'll be starting in Dallas, Texas, and they just made this thing even more litty. It's going to be fantastic. That's about all we got for the 20 by 20 Programs podcast. I think we went a little bit longer than we wanted to.
One last thing, Clint, before you wrap it up here, just want to point out my phone has informed me that it was 2 years ago today, June 12th, 2017, that yours truly and Clint Domang both held the Raw Tag Team Championships. It was this day 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Sheamus and Cesaro, the bar.
Friends of the program.
Was in the station, and my Facebook app reminded me of that. Yeah. June 12th, 2017. We met the Raw Tag Team Champions, the bar, and got to hold the belts.
Yeah, and they had me.
I still had long hair in this picture.
They had me in stitches, bro.
They are big dudes. Oh, and again, we said this before, but if you listen to the liner on 103.7 on the station there, when it says, hey, this is Sheamus, it's actually Cesaro. And when it says, and this is Sheamus, this is Cesaro, it's actually Sheamus. It's really funny. You'll get it if you
All right, I'm a favorite wrestler you've ever met, Cody.
Favorite wrestler I've ever met. Does Dangerous Danny Davis count?
I don't give a shit.
I've met Hillbilly Jim. I don't know, it's probably Sheamus.
Sheamus? Dude, Sheamus is so
Oh, no,
fun
you know what? Fun. I take it back. Favorite wrestler I've met just because of how I met them? Rhino. When I met Rhino, I had my WWE flag. And I got him to sign my flag, and he was so excited because he's apparently loves boats. And he stood there and asked me, "Where did you get this flag, man?" And I was like, "Online." And he was like, "Oh, man, I got to get this for my boat." He's like, "I actually have two boats. I'm going to get one for both of my boats." Like, you know, do you have boats? Do you like boats? Do you put this on your boat? And Heath Slater is sitting next to him at the time. And I shit you not, I can't make this up. Heath Slater looks at me and goes, "Yeah, he likes boats." And then Mickey James, again, not lying, Mickey James sitting next to him laughs. And then I move down the line. So I'm going to go with Rhino. Because
they use the boat story.
It was just a really weird conversation to have with Rhino.
I thought you'd go Renee Young just because.
Oh, that was a good one too.
Oh, it was the same thing.
It was at the same night I met Renee Young. She came out from the back to sign something for this girl in a wheelchair. Well, I'm with D. Michaels, TV's Dylan.
You were because he was booping.
Well, that's the thing. We were there together and we had Jack in the Box on the way to this event. I am a man. And didn't have to go take a shit during the event because of Jack in the Box. I could wait till it was over. Dylan could not. Had to go to the bathroom inside the Superdome in the middle of this event. We're on the field. He had to go take a dump.
Cody, is that because you're just so used to eating crap all the time?
That's probably why. But hey, I was training for this moment, Clint. This was my moment. And I see Renee Young. She comes out. And then she even comes on the other side of the barricade and everything. And really not that many people are bothering her. So I just kind of slide over there. Oh, hey, Renee, you mind signing my flag? She signs the same flag. I take a selfie with her and then promptly send that selfie to one TV's Dylan sitting on the shitter at the Superdome saying, how is that dump going, buddy? And I still think he holds a grudge over
that to this day.
So it's between Renee Young and Rhino. Safe to say that the WrestleMania 34 pre-sale, on-sale party thing at the Superdome was a good day for myself.
For me, I'd probably say Natalya. Natalya was just so great.
See, I missed that one.
Yeah.
Missed that. Like, I missed that one, and I missed Kevin Owens.
I thought you were here for that.
I was working here, but I wasn't, like, here when he was here.
But, I'll just say this. Kevin Owens, I didn't get to meet him either, but Natalya was really just awesome just to talk to, and she was just, like, she was very interested in everything that, like, me and her talked about wrestling a lot, and she enjoyed, like, the five-minute conversation we had.
And I did like when Carmella and Sheamus and Cesaro, the bar, they did the same thing. When you get them away from their handler and they go into the studio with you alone, they finally exhale. And like Carmella, she got in there. I closed the door behind us and she like, so tired. Like, it's like even in front of their like handlers and whoever, they have to stay so on point with everything. It's got to be a tough life to live to a certain extent.
Oh, it's a struggle. But like I said, that's all we got for the 20 by 20
Progress
podcast.
We got off track at the end, but it's kind of what we do.
What else is new?
It's kind of what we do.
Let's get out of here.
Tell them where to find the show, Clint.
Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, the Himalaya app, whatever the fuck that is.
It's a thing, though, the Himalaya app.
The Podcast Addict, Stitcher, not Spotify.
1037thegame.com.
Exclusively through there.
Exclusively.
It's all coming via there. It's
And Clint may or may not tweet it out in face. Who knows?
I'll put it out on the 20 by 20 Progress Podcast Twitter account.
Oh, we do have one of those. What is that? It's at 20x20 podcast.
At 20x20 podcast. And by the way, the person that has the 20 by 20x20 underscore podcast, fuck you and quit tagging us.
Is that way? That's a thing?
Yeah. I'm sending you the link right now.
I haven't seen this.
All right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm screw this guy. Don't follow him. Don't listen to his podcast. Fuck him. Listen to our podcast and our podcast only. We're out of here.
We're going to end on that. Fuck that guy. The show is so over.